All right, thanks first of all for coming. As I said, as I just said on Twitter, I'm amazed that you managed to make it because the weather was just absolutely mental. And it's good to see people, and there's more coming. Oh my God, it's those guys. I have a bit of a cough. It might be that I start coughing in between. It's not swine flu. I talked to my doctor. He said something. It's to be confirmed. It's TBC, right? That means to be confirmed. So yeah, it's fine. But it's a bit annoying. It's a bit ticklish and everything, but we're going to be fine. So today I'm going to talk about Placemaker, which is one of our newer APIs. And it comes with stickers, and it also comes with good little cheat sheets that you can take away later on. And Placemaker is one of the things that we've thought about for a long time, but we hadn't quite finished it yet. And it just is amazing what you can do with it. So I'm going to talk you through some of the little bits about it, and we're going to go from there. So first of all, I'm only a spatial fanboy. I'm not part of the geo team. I'm not very good in geotechnologies because it's all trigonometry and on balls, and it's really, really hard, and math and stuff like that. I'm good in understanding APIs and talking to other people and finding solutions for APIs and what you can do with them. It's quite fun when you talk with geo people in the office and you ask them, like, what does this little part of the API do? And then you have like a 6-hour session on some whiteboard and you learn everything about Earth and you're like, I don't want to know what kind of format it has and what comes back from it, but fair enough. So is anybody here from the GeoMob or anybody on you in geo locations? So I've been at the WEAR camp in San Francisco 2 years ago and I thought I could not be outgeeked. I was wrong. I'm very much like, wow, guys, amazing what you guys are doing, because I love the idea of having computers help us to understand what's going on this planet and where you find yourself and where you find other things. It's great to see that people take this challenge on. So this is Placemaker. It's developer.yahoo.com, GeoPlacemaker. It comes with full documentation. It comes with examples, and you can play with it. What it is, it's an API that you can throw a text at or a URL at, and it actually gives you the geolocations in that data back to you. So if you throw a text that says Miami, it will give you back Miami, it will tell you that's a city, it will give you the where on Earth ID, and will give you the latitude and the longitude of that place. And thank you. Any questions? Okay, then fair enough. Let's talk about a bit about it. Why is a thing like Placemaker actually good to have? We have a web of information. There's loads and loads of information on the web, and we've been very careless in the last 10 years just to throw information out there without giving it proper structure. You're lucky when you find HTML that validates. You're even luckier when you find some information that is tagged or has some RDF data in it, something with proper microformats. So we put content out on the web every day, every minute, every hour, and then we hope some computers find them somehow again. So finding information and finding real information on the web is becoming harder and harder just because of the sheer complexity and the sheer amount of volume of information that we threw on the web. And it annoys me that when people just write websites and don't even have a proper heading structure or a proper title for the document. When I did workshops with people about accessibility and about doing web design, the first thing is I taught them how to use Word. I taught them how to actually use headlines rather than just make for bigger fonts and give the Word document a structure. So without having structure on the web, we just throw text out there, and it's becoming harder and harder for search engines to find the information that we put out there. And then we wonder when two months later we don't know anymore, we can't find our own stuff anymore. I do that on my blog. I have the same problem there. Search engines, or find engines as I like to call them, because why would I have an engine that searches something rather than finding something for me, help us with that. But we are running against the wall. I mean, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft with Bing, other search engines have the same problems. Just too much information out there, not enough structure. We display what we think is all right, but if you do a search and you find the first 200 characters is people's navigation, then you know these people didn't put any structure in their documents, they didn't put a description in there. We don't know what these documents are. So search engines can help us, but only to a certain degree. Analyzing this data is really, really hard, because if you're just a computer and you get a text, you don't speak a language. Languages are not algorithmic like programming languages are. They have all kind of weird rules, and people have all kind of like things like speaking in metaphors, trying to be clever with headlines. And as a search engine, I don't know what's a keyword and what isn't. If I don't know the text, for example, what language the text is, I don't know what is stop words. Stop words are like to, in, like these little things that don't mean anything without the words around them. And I, as a search engine, I don't want to index them. I just want to throw them away. But if I don't know the language, then I can just make an educated guess. That's why a language attribute on HTML is very important, even for search engines. Most people just don't use them. And if you're a blind person and you listen to a website and you listen to a whole English website pronounced in French, that's not fun. Same way you don't want to listen to a German talk in English. Not good. So we want to help search engines get this information out there, and that's why we actually have human additives. We put things on websites that give us more information about the data in there. These are tags, these are microformats, these are descriptions. These are even, for example, when you blog and you have a little explanation what the whole blog post is about. So a blog internal search engine can only index these two sentences and make it a lot faster for you. It's a lot less churning in the database. And tags are a wonderful thing because tags can be crowdsourced. I put all my stuff out there on Flickr, on Delicious, and people tag these bookmarks then with their own tags, which makes sense for them. But I also find out what keywords I hadn't thought of. A lot of times I find the best keywords to actually promote my things online by looking at what other people have used as tags. And it's just wonderful to see that you can do this. And as the kid painting on the dog here, it's great that we can play with the web and help people improve their search engine visibility by putting tags in there. That's why now with Yahoo Boss, we have Delicious tags results in the results set as well. And other companies think about doing the same thing, because in the end, computers are stupid. If a computer gets asked, do I look fat in this dress, a computer is stupid enough to try to answer that question. Whereas a human, we're like, no, that's not a good idea. It's like, oh, look, weather, these kind of things. The other thing that we're doing more and more is that we're becoming mobile. The desktop machines are more or less a thing of the past in the Western world, and unless you're in a internet cafe or something like that. We're always on the go. We have our mobile phones. We have our laptops. There's wireless available, sometimes free, if you're not in a third world country like England. And we can actually find out where we are. And people start seeing this as an opportunity and also want to know, hey, I'm here with my iPhone. Why don't you tell me what's in the surroundings? Why don't you tell me what I find here? Where's information that talks about the place that I'm in, not only the thing that I'm in, not only the name of the city? So we have to find a way to get information in our web content that tells us without a doubt that it's about a certain area, rather than just about the place itself. So if you look, for example, for a night in Paris, you might find things you don't want to find, not that the restaurants where you can go to. So we have to find a technology that helps us take texts that we've done on the web for like 10 years now, run it through that technology, and find the geolocations in this place. And this is what Placemaker does for us. So every text has these hidden goodies in there. We have information about a place, we have information about dates, celebrities, historical moments, historical landmarks. All this information is in there, but it's not marked up. We don't know what it is, where it is in the text, and if it's really what we mean in the text. Like, for example, a person called Jack London is not a place, but a stupid computer would go through it and say, like, yeah, that's London, that's a place. So let's mark it up as a place. So we need clever machines to do that for us. And Placemaker is one of those things because it does all these kind of lookups for us. It doesn't do anything with celebrities and dates and things like that. This is what, for example, OpenCalais from Reuters does very well. And we also have an API on our sandbox from our research department in Barcelona, but that's not live yet, and I keep pushing them. We should have something like that as well. I would love to have a tool where I can throw a text and it gives me all this information. For now, we have the Placemaker information, and that's cool enough, actually. Because you can throw a free text or URL at Placemaker, and Placemaker gives you back places and references. Places is the physical places that it found. It found Miami. It says it has a latitude, a longitude. It's a city. It belongs to America. It's not here. References mean where in the text it found this word. So you can match it up as a human and say, like, well, actually, this was a false positive, or this is a positive. Or you can also find the location in the text and put a microformat around it, because you have the reference and the place, not only the place. If you had only the place, you would have to do regular expressions, all kinds of things, to find that location again. So take this sentence here. First we take Manhattan and then we take Berlin. It was late night and I was listening to music. And there's Manhattan in there, of course, which is a place, which is part of New York, part of America, and there's Berlin. And it could be the Berlin in Germany, it could be 20 different Berlins. I mean, that's the fun thing when you talk to real geo people. It's amazing how many cities are that are the same. There's like 12 different Frankfurts in America, something like that. There's one city that's the same name in Peru, in Brazil, and like in five countries next to each other, all have the same city. It's really hard to find the right one just by finding out the rest of the text around it. So Placemaker is an API. As easy as that, we're in yahooapis.com/v1/document. And then you put the document content in there, which in this case is first we take Manhattan and then we take Berlin. And a document type, which is in this case text plain. It could be text HTML or text RSS. And for Placemaker, of course, it's a lot easier when the text is structured. When it's just text plain, it's really hard to find the right places, especially the references. And then it needs an app ID. The app ID you can sign up for on the Yahoo site, and it basically all we need to know from you is like, where's the thing going to be, what are you going to do with it, and the description. The better description you put in there, the more we can pimp your application later on and we know about what you're doing rather than just hoping for it. The URL is not really connected. It's not like Google Maps where you have to put an ID together with the URL. So if you shift it to another server, you need another app ID. It's not the case in our scenario, but it just means that you have a certain amount of hits a day to go for it. At the moment, Placemaker is not limited to anything, but it's a beta. So it will be limited later on because no API on this planet stays unlimited for its whole lifetime, not even the Bing API, although they say that right now. And then you have all kind of really, really cool parameters. You have the input language, which is RFC, French, Canadian, German, German. You have the document URL, which is the URL to analyze, which means Placemaker would load that URL and try to analyze it. You have the output type, which is XML or RSS. So XML gives you more information. RSS is a geo-RSS feed that you could throw, for example, at a map data to just show it on a map. But I'm always a bit wary about RSS because I don't trust systems coming back. I like to have a way of filtering out because you will find one location that doesn't have a proper latitude and longitude. And then you have a map that shows the world rather than the three places that you have next to each other because the overall latitude and longitude scope is far too big. You have document content, which is the text to analyze, the document title, which allows us to actually analyze the text better than just having the text. So if you have a text that is about London and you want to tell us, please only find the places that are around London or make sense in a London scenario, then you can give it a document title saying like my travels in London or something like that. So that makes it a lot easier for Placemaker to find the right ones. The document type is the MIME type of the document, so you have to say text HTML, text plain, text RSS. Auto disambiguate means that it removes the duplicates from the start. So you always have duplicates and like five things that are the same thing. So auto disambiguate to true means it only gives you the first one of five that are the same. And focus where on earth ID is filter around the where on earth ID in 400 kilometers. So you could call it the BNP filter because it will only give you things from England when you use, for example, London as the where on earth ID. Where on earth ID is a numeric value of a place on earth less ambiguous than latitude and longitude because that could be two places. Whereas where on earth ID is something we identified as a local place and that's a general thing we have in geo. So take this text again and run it through Placemaker. And you will get this XML document. I'm on a Mac, so I set up this font to display XML documents in case you wonder. And there's all kind of stuff in there. There's processing time, there's a version, there's document length, administrative scope, geographic scope, extents. So this one actually shows you when you want to show that on a map, this will be the extent of a map that you have to display. So all of these places are in that area. And then it starts with the place details and it starts with a reference list. So this is the data that you get back. So data is great, but if you don't understand what the different data does, it doesn't really help you. So we have to take a look at some of the details of these things right now. So places is a place details element with a place element in it. There's the where on earth ID, there's the type of what the where on earth ID is, in this case a country, it could be a city, it could be a continent. The name is Manhattan, New York, New Jersey, New York, United States. The centroid with latitude and longitude. And then you have match type and weight, which is something that we can read up, but it's really not necessary for what we're trying to do here. But the confidence level is something interesting. If that drops below a certain 4, I wouldn't trust it anymore. Or if it's above 8, I can safely say this really matches something up that is Manhattan in New York. Otherwise, it might be a Manhattan street somewhere else. The references, in this case, is the Where on Earth IDs, and is a plain text marker because it was plain text. It is the text that was Berlin and matches up with the other one. And it has no XPath. If I throw an HTML document at it, or I throw an RSS feed at it, I get an XPath back, which is great for highlighting it and finding it without wondering where it is in the HTML. But it's also a properly computer-generated XPath, so it's like this long. So in terms of performance, if I want to go through the XPath, it's not that clever. You can normally cut down after the body anyways. Funnily enough, the references are in an element called reference list. The places are not. So that's a bit of a thing that I got confused with when I did it. And that brings me to annoyances about PlaceMaker. This is normally when we got marketing people of our company in the audience, they start, what are you doing? But every system out there has something that annoys me as a developer. And I will talk to you about the things right now that I don't like in PlaceMaker, but I will also tell you why they're there, and I will also show you workarounds about problems. The first annoyance is that you have 50,000 bytes to analyze after that PlaceMaker cuts off. But that's just because we don't want our computers to churn through 5 terabytes of unorganized HTML. So 50,000 bytes is what PlaceMaker gives you information from. So make sure if you send something to it and it gets over 50,000 bytes, chunk it up into 2 different calls and you don't have that problem. It's a lot, actually, but when we look at what we throw out on the web nowadays, it's not much anymore, because HTML documents get bigger and bigger and bigger, because people love to put classes on everything and think div layouts need 12 divs nested rather than just like 4. The other thing is the broken web. Data out there is just terrible. Finding HTML data that is properly structured is really, really not normal. So a lot of websites, when you throw them at PlaceMaker, that, for example, say they're UTF-8 encoded and they don't have a UTF-8 non-UTF-8 character in it, PlaceMaker chokes on them because it's a very strict backend and says, like, well, this is not really UTF-8, sorry, I don't want to do this. So some of the websites that I tried out with PlaceMaker didn't work. News.bbc.co.uk, one of them. And that annoyed me. Like, I would love to see news.bbc.co.uk, and it always broke. And then I looked through it was because of characters. The same problem was with the Twitter feed. The Twitter feed said it's UTF-8, but it had non-UTF-8 characters in it, and that broke PlaceMaker as well. So don't trust any web data out there because people do bad things with it. The other thing is that we have post versus get. So PlaceMaker only allows you to do post requests, not get requests. And as a fiddler, as a hacker, I actually love having get APIs. I love to go to the browser and just change parameters in the browser URL and in the address bar and get the different data back. But I can't do it that easily because it only allows for post. So I have to go through a PHP script, save it, try it, save it, try it. I can't do it in the browser directly. The reason for it is that from a RESTful API architecture point of view, PlaceMaker is an API that gets a lot of data, so post is the right thing to do. I would just love to have a get wrapper for it, but we don't have one at the moment. The other problem is that we don't have a JSON output, and as a JavaScript guy, I love JSON. It's just I'm sick and tired of trying to go through namespaces and all kind of things in XML, because I will show you PHP and XML is nice that we have simple XML by now, but it's still a pain to go through. With JSON and JSON decode, I don't have that problem. I just get an object and I'm done. I also love that in JSON I can use it in a complete JavaScript environment. I can use it in a widget on a mobile phone. I can use it in a widget on a website. I don't need to have any server control whatsoever. But as we don't have JSON output and no callback parameter for JSONP, we cannot do this at the moment. The other problem is that you have places and references. So there's no connect between places and references because it's just two different lists in the XML document. And most of the time when I do these kind of things, as a front-end guy, I love to put microformats into a text. I love to find out what HTML element had a place so I can put a strong element around it and make it pretty. And I don't have the connection between the two. The reason is that PlaceMaker was built to, funny enough, find places, not find references. So the reference thing is just a nice to have we tacked on at the end. So there's a bit of a disconnect between the two. Of course, for everything on the web, when there's a problem, then there's fixes. So some of them are dirty, some of them are easy, but there are systems out there to fix everything on this planet, even news.bbc.co.uk. So one of the fixes that we have is YQL. Who here knows about YQL? Good. YQL is it's much like pipes. You can remix the web in a language that is SQL style. So you can say select star from HTML where URL is http://news.bbc.co.uk. And what that thing will do for you is leech news.bbc.co.uk, run it through HTML tidy, remove invalid characters, and give you the data back as XML. In this case here, it starts with the body. It doesn't give you any head data back, but we don't need that anyways if you want to send a title through as well. So if you have an HTML that is terrible and you want to make sure that you get some data out of it, YQL is a great idea because it fixes it for you, it caches it for you, and it's much faster on the web than your server will be anyways. So it's a great idea to go through YQL. I've given a talk at the Open Hack Day about YQL. All these slides are available as well. If you haven't played with it yet, do it because it's nuts what you can do with it. The mashups and the hacks that I've done over the last few years, you can replace with like few lines of code with YQL. I've been at Profero the other day and showed those guys how I can make a map out of their homepage from the alternative text of their images of their locations menu and these kind of things in a few lines of code. It's absolutely mental. But let's go for some code. So using YQL together with this is you put your API key in there. This is not the real one. So if there's a URL parameter, use YQL and curl to load the document. So you do query Yahoo APIs com public YQL select star from HTML where URL is URL encode the URL that you want to have and the format is XML. And then you do a normal curl call, get that data back. This fixed all the problems that I had with normal PlaceMaker trying to find information from the web for me. Then, if it was successful, I get really dirty because I don't want to go through XML documents. And the problem is, like, if you use simple XML now and you try to analyze that whole thing, it turns the whole HTML document from the BBC into an object that I have to loop through to put together again. So I'm like, nah, I can't be bothered. So I'm just checking if something came back. And then I just remove all the XML stuff, strip out the tags, because tags is data that I don't need to analyze. And we have 50K, remember, well, 48K, remember to go through. And then I also strip out all the white space to make sure that there's no problem with that and save some bytes as well. So I'm getting the most out of the HTML that I have. And then I post the whole thing to PlaceMaker. I use a curl call. I have a post URL, which is where in yahooapis.com document. The post variables are the key document content, URL encoded again. And that's another problem, because URL encoding means your 20k of HTML with all the percentage signs and 20s turns into 50k really, really easily. Document type text HTML, output type XML. And then I do my curl call with the post callback, give it an XML header, and echo it out. So this is what I normally do if I want to play with PlaceMaker and just see something. So because there's no get, I can't do it that way. Connecting places and references is a bit more problematic because you've seen it before when we looked through the results and I skimmed over that a bit. What I'm going to do now is show you how I've built this thing here. Is it Hack Day Hacks, PlaceMaker, Simple Text? The slides are already online. It's also on my blog. I've got the description of what I'm supposed to say, which will be completely different to what I was saying now, but it has all the information in there. So all the URLs are there. You don't need to note them down. So I've got a text to analyze, I have a microformat template that gives me a V-card with a geo microformat with like placeholders in there, and then marked up text to copy. So I basically turn this into this via this template using PlaceMaker to find the information with the latitude and longitude that I don't have in the original text. When I look at the result sets that I get back from PlaceMaker, I have a where on earth ID in the place details, which is awesome. And then I have where on earth IDs in the reference, because they could relate to more than one. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm like, this is terrible. So what we have to do is, when we want to do this, if you check if some test has been run through, that's the post analyze here, we find the template of the microformat, we have the API key, we do a curl call to placemaker, same thing as here again, and we execute it and store it in the X. Then we do a simple XML load string on the X result, and this is fun. libxml underscore no C data. You have to add this when the XML has C data elements in it. So for simple XML to give me data back that isn't C data, I have to say no C data, please. Who comes up with these naming conventions? I'm totally confused by that. But if you do this, you can read C data elements in a simple XML. Fair enough. So I loop over the places then, and basically set up an array that has the where on earth ID plus the where on earth ID as the hash map, and then I just put all the data in there. So this means I have now all the places by where on earth ID. Because the references have where on earth IDs, I just needed to find a way to connect the two with each other. What I do then, I loop through the references, look for the where on earth IDs in the references in a nested loop, and I hate nested loops, but it had to be done here. And the current location is the where on earth ID plus this where on earth ID in the found places map that I connected in the old one here. Another thing that's also fun with simple XML is you get simple XML back, and every element is an object with a property called zero. So to use this as a string, you have to cast it to a string at the end here, and this took me about 20 minutes to find out as well. Once I've got the lookup, I can basically just test if all the information is there. Was there a text, which is the match in the document? Is there a current location name, a latitude, and a longitude? And if they are, to some shortcut, and then replace the placeholders I have in the microformats template with the real information, and replace the whole text with the content in there. And that will turn the text in the one box into the other one. So what these few lines of PHP do, and a few lines of HTML, and a bit of CSS, is actually give you that whole thing. And I think it's pretty cool that you can do this kind of stuff in by yourself. I mean, there's tools out there that do it for you, but you can do that in a WordPress plugin, you can do that in a build script from your own content management system, whatever. It's just quite fun that you can go for these things. Let's go around the problem that we only have post. YQL has the benefit of being extensible. So anything in YQL that you can find, you can extend with an own schema pointing to another data set, and you can even write a JavaScript that runs on the YQL server to convert information from one API, mix it with another API, and give it back in another format, which is terribly powerful, and I'm quite amazed that nobody has abused it yet, but we're checking well if something happens there. So we created an open table in YQL for Placemaker, which allows you to do something like select star from Placemaker, where document content is this, and document type is this, text plain, and app ID is an app ID. What that one allows me to do now, as it goes through YQL, which is another API, I have complete GET access to Placemaker. I can use Placemaker in JavaScript, I can use Placemaker together with other APIs, and I can mix it up any way I want to without having to use my own PHP script on the back end. And the results are cached for me, and the results are on the YQL server, and as the YQL server and the Placemaker server are about 5 inches away from each other, it's rather fast. I can use this now to get information back as JSON, because we don't have JSON in Placemaker, but we have JSON output in YQL. So this is the JSON output, and if you look at it properly, good news, because place and reference is next to each other. So I don't have to do the nested loop stuff. It already does this thing for me in the open table, and I don't have to worry about it anymore, which cuts down on my implementation a lot. So in JavaScript, going away from PHP, going through to a real language, I have my content, I have my YQL statement, select star from placemaker where document content is the content, and document type is text plain, and app ID is this. Then I have the YQL API endpoint, and I just throw all the stuff at it. I want it in JSON. I want a callback called got_it, and encode the whole thing. Create a script node. Add the script node to the head of the document, and the browser and JavaScript will do the rest for me. putting this together in the function got it, I basically just have to say, oh, query results matches match, loop over it, and then I get the name, the latitude, the longitude, and the match. So I can do the whole thing in a few lines of code rather than having to match with a nested list and all kind of things. And that's what YQL does for you. And it's quite powerful to go for that. So if you want to use something in JavaScript only, you can use this YQL open table, and you've got JSON support and you've got GET support. Now, let's look at some implementations that I've done with that before we basically can come up with ideas yourself. One of the first things I've done as a demo is a Yahoo News map. So that one basically takes the RSS feed of Yahoo News and runs it through PlaceMaker and plots it on a map. So you can click either on the result here and it will the map will scroll to it and show you the extra information about it, or you can click on the marker and it will scroll to the other side as well. And that was 20 lines of PHP, because XML or RSS is one input of PlaceMaker, and the map takes the RSS output of the RSS feed, and you can plot it this way. It's really easy. The other thing I've done is tweet locations, which basically goes through somebody's Twitter. You can put your Twitter ID in there, which was mine here, and then it just shows you all the tweets that have locations in them and plots them on a map. It's actually pretty pointless, but it's quite just to show where you can data mine information from, because it's quite cool. On the other hand, if you take the timestamp as well, you could see what I talked about in which areas, which means probably that I was in that area or was supposed to go to that area and wanted to know something about it. So London will be most of the time. But then you have, of course, things like maze, which is in France, which in this case was just a maze. So that's the kind of thing where I said you need to check it as a human as well. Don't trust all the data nilly-willy. GeoDis is a GreaseMonkey script that works with WordPress. So in WordPress, you get a little GeoDis button, and once you've finished writing your blog post, you just hit the button, and it will go through the text, find all the geolocations, and put them in there as with the match here, and then it will give you the microformat to actually copy and paste back into your text. I haven't done it yet that it automatically replaces it, because I don't trust that either. But the really good news, 20 minutes before I came here, somebody on Twitter told me he used that GeoDis information and the explanation that I put in the blog and made a WordPress plugin out of it. So there's a WordPress plugin already now using PlaceMaker to analyze the text once you submit it in WordPress, and it puts the PlaceMaker geo information as custom fields in there. You can set it up that it puts it in as microformats, and it also puts the geo information in the RSS feed of that element automatically. So this is something I wanted to do the next few days. Great, just because I put it out on the web and told people how I've done it, they build it for me. I love the web. It's the same with all the JavaScript stuff. When I write my articles, give them out for free, all of a sudden I found Chinese translations. I hope it's a translation, but other Chinese people said, yeah, it's great. So give out shit for free and you'll be happy. GeoMaker was one thing where I said, okay, this is all bloody geeky. Nobody wants to write HTML, JavaScript, and YQL. So I said, okay, let's do something. Let's put an interface onto this to see what we could do with it. So the GeoMaker is a three-step process. Put a text in or put a URL in there. Then you hit the button, filter it down. It's basically a data table with YUI here that can allow you to say, okay, these are just false positives, because I talked about London four times. I only want it once. That's enough for one post, for example. You can filter by where on earth ID, latitude, and longitude, and so on and so forth. And in the third step, you basically get a map that you can copy and paste into your HTML, or you get the microformats that you can copy and paste in your HTML. And I put it out there and said, ooh, what do you think? And out of a sudden, it was on Programmer Web. It was yesterday. It was on TechCrunch. And it had 12,000 visits in the first hour or something like that. So I was happy that I'm with Media Temple, and that actually didn't crash my server. I was also happy that I work for Yahoo and told them, if this API key gets a lot of spikes, don't worry. It's good. It's just TechCrunch talking about it. It was on the 4th of July, so that was probably good, because otherwise it would have been 10 times as many people, because most Americans were actually barbecuing and being drunk. The cool thing about this one is, as well as every time you build something like this, people will ask, where's the API for it? Because PlaceMaker is an API. I build a front end for the API, so people ask for another API, of course, because it's much easier to use one than read the documentation of PlaceMaker. So, yeah, I put an API together, which is an API of sorts, which allows you to basically get all the JSON output, get the do GET requests to PlaceMaker. In this case, only with the URL, but I can extend that to anything that I want to as well. I'm going to show you in a second what it does. And yeah, you can use that one. It's not monitored or anything. It's fine. The other thing I've done, as I said, I like JavaScript. I wrote a JavaScript wrapper for PlaceMaker. It would allow you to just call a JS PlaceMaker with an app ID and then JS PlaceMaker with a URL or with a text, like everything that PlaceMaker does, but in JavaScript as a wrapper API, so you don't have to go through the rest. You have the data. We have the information now that you can throw a text at it and you get geo information back. So think about what you can do with that. Think about ideas that you can have with it. I have a lot of them, but a lot of them are quite stupid as well. But it's just, how can we use this information, this geo information? And I'm quite sure some proper hardcore geo people over there can tell us more about this. How we can match it up with the geo, with the GPS data API of the iPhone, for example. How can we use it with places? How we can use it with IP recognition? I've written another YQL solution that from IP I can get the where on earth ID, or from IP I can get the postcode. So all of these things you can mash up with each other. You have the data, you have the tools, we have good computers nowadays, and we have the APIs for us to mix and match. And the question is now, you need a great idea. And Flickr, for example, knows where on earth ID. So you can analyze a text, find the where on earth IDs, and get Flickr photos for this where on earth ID automatically using a YQL statement. So here I've got select match place where on earth ID from GeoPlacemaker, where the document content is the first we take Manhattan and then we take Berlin. Document type is text plain and the app ID is something you should put in. And then I do, with the result here, which is just a where on earth ID, I do a select ID from Flickr photo search where the where on earth ID is this where on earth ID and license is 4. That is means that you can use these photos because they're licensed Creative Commons. And then select star from Flickr photos info where photo ID is this and that. And then you get all the information from Flickr photos for these texts. And this is something that before YQL was quite a pain to build. And before Flickr put where on earth ID in there, we could just match the name and then we would have Paris the city and Paris the lady, which is not necessarily the right thing and not necessarily as satisfying. All the information is on developer.yahoo.com/geo. So we have PlaceMaker here. We have the GeoPlanet API, which is the data API behind it. So PlaceMaker is just a wrapper for GeoPlanet, and then I wrote another 5 wrappers just to make it interesting. We have the Maps API, which allows you to show them on maps and put like little icons on there and stuff like that. Fire Eagle is for is a location broker. If you want to tell people where you are, you can, or find out where people are at the moment, you can get this from Fire Eagle, and you don't have to guess their IP. And for example, I go through VPN. My IP always guesses that I'm in California, which I'm obviously not yet. So GeoPlanet data is also interesting because the planet, the data that runs PlaceMaker is available as a data set for you to download. So you can use this and build your own PlaceMaker if you wanted to. But what PlaceMaker does is this disambiguation for you to realize, for example, that Jack London is a person and not a place. Or that Paris, a night in Paris might be a movie title and not necessarily the place in this case. Guardian is one of the websites out there right now that throw out a lot of interesting data. Every time you read The Guardian every Sunday, you will find next morning, you will find most of the data from the research papers, like the double pages with like lots of nice graphs and stuff like that. You get this as XML, as spreadsheets on Google spreadsheets to use. So look at some of the stuff that they're putting on the data blog and see if you can do something with Geo together with that. It might be interesting what comes out of that. I remember the BNP list plotted on a map. That was quite interesting. That's it from me. Thank you very much. The blog post will be up with all the information, so don't worry about it. Any questions about this?